Walking this talk together.
Every hour.
Every day. This is 702.
Let's walk the talk.
A high demand for copper is fueling vandalism of South Africa's electricity network. That's according to the Hawks in Gauteng. This emerged on the second day of the Johannesburg Energy Indaba, which was hosted in Sandton. The vandalism of electricity infrastructure, including the theft of copper cables, has been blamed for plunging South Africa into darkness. Joining me on the line now is Donald McKay. Donald is a Metals Recyclers Association of SA Paid advisor. Donald, thank you very much for joining us. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I would imagine there are very clear legislative guidelines as to what Africa needs to do when it's come across some copper cabling that I'm selling to whoever is going to buy it. One, is there such a thing? And two, why is it not deterring copper theft, do you think, in this country?
Well, there is a Secondhand Goods Act, which regulates what you're meant to do. But of course, this is not well enforced. And we don't have a police force very often able to understand the difference between legitimately traded copper, or for that matter, other metal, and stolen goods. And so, of course, the stolen goods do end up entering the normal stream, and that does become a problem.
And who is buying the stolen copper?
Well, we don't, of course, exactly know that, or I presume that they would be arrested. But we have some sense of that. So if we have a look, for example, at where the stolen copper ends up, we do see, for example, that some of it ends up in some kind of melted form before it is exported. So presumably, a significant portion of the stolen copper is ending up at local foundries, who are then converting the stolen copper into a melted form, which of course makes it much harder to trace. And then from there, that melted copper could be exported or traded to another local consumer, or it could simply be reused. So if you think of these illegal electricity connections, You do need components out of the system in order to make those connections. And so presumably a portion of the stolen copper ends back up into the electricity system, but of course to facilitate illegal connections. And that's probably about as much as I could really tell you. I'm not sure I know more.
That's certainly a lot more than what I know, Donald. Because then the immediate question becomes, so if you are a scrap metal dealer, or if you have some sort of furnace that's going to melt down copper, and you are living in South Africa, you are frustrated surely with the amount of load shedding that we have to endure. It's probably having an impact on your business. Why fuel that business? Why not go, no, rubbish, I will call the police now on you to tell them that you have stolen cable? Because ultimately, we all appreciate how devastating the theft of copper cabling is to all of us.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that question probably has the same answer as to why do so many of the politicians steal the country blind and at the same time have to live in a country that is then failing. So I'm not sure the distinction is that big. I'm assuming the people that are stealing are generating greater value to themselves than the inconvenience they have to go through with the power cuts.
So where is the solution, do you think, Donald? We have a legislative framework that gives very clear guidelines. Is it on the implementation of that and making sure that whoever is purchasing scrap metal is doing so under legal circumstances, essentially?
Well, so I do think there are a couple of low-hanging fruit that we should immediately go after that can make a big difference quite quickly. One of them is to prohibit the trade in scrap for cash. So, of course, just the moment you trade anything for cash, traceability becomes a challenge. I'm not suggesting people will be perfectly honest in all of their dealings if you force them to deal with online payments, but let's at least make it a little more difficult. And that's something that's relatively easy to do quite quickly. I think there used to be specialized people within the police. For example, in Cape Town, the Metro Police had the Copperheads, which were a specialized team looking at copper theft particularly. The South African police, in fact, had an arrangement to have people specially trained up to identify stolen scrap, taught how to inspect a yard, for example, to identify problematic dealers. But all of this got taken away, and they no longer seem to do this. So the MRA, my client, is kind of reinitiating conversations with the police to try to get that back on track again, which I do think would make a difference. You know, just enforcing the rules of the Secondhand Goods Act. So, for example, we enforce a lot more tightly with the yards, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we also have to begin looking at the foundries. You know, as I mentioned, the minute you melt the scrap down, you lose the ability to trace it.
Donald, we are going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much for those insights. Donald McKay is a Metal Recyclers Association of SA trade advisor, talking to us about what we could do to curb cable theft in South Africa.